Good morning. Or good afternoon, actually. And happy St. Paddy's Day. I have to go, right after this, I have to go bless the beer at at Grand River Brewery. So I was about to canonize John Bertka, St. John Bertka. No, there is an official blessing for beer, believe it or not, in the Book of Blessings. Leave it to the Catholics, right? So, this weekend, each parish of the Diocese of Lansing is hearing the message from the bishop that we played just before the beginning of Mass. And since I didn't do a state of the parish earlier this year due to the homily series that Father Brian and I were doing on prayer, I thought this DSA weekend would be a good time to give an update on our fiscal year 2017-18. So sorry to any guests that we have that are not parishioners that you have to listen to a reading that's not a homily that's not on the readings. But reflecting on our stewardship is also fitting because we are now moving into the third of the four signs of a dynamic Catholic by Matthew Kelly. And if you've continued reading along with the book, you know that the third sign of a dynamic Catholic is generosity. Generosity. So you'll see in this week's bulletin the financial overview for the last fiscal year, 2017-18. But before I dive into that, I want to emphasize how happy I am to hear from so many of you about how much you're delighting in the spiritual revitalization that's going on in our parish. Many of you have responded to the invitations that Father Brian and I have been continually giving from the pulpit, you know, to put out into the deep, to give yourself wholly to the Lord, and to enter into an intimate relationship with Him. In doing so, many of you have found healing from past hurts and discovered that this love that the God the Father offers is real and heartfelt, and increases your own capacity to love. The seemingly distant God of the universe has come intimately close to us in Jesus, who gives Himself to us in the sacraments. And it's here in the parish that the life of Jesus is poured out to us. Even amidst of all that's going on in the church and in the world, you're finding your hope renewed, your spirit strengthened, and you're loving how you're learning more about the faith than you have ever in your life. So much so that you're now desirous of inviting the people around you into that life-changing relationship with the Lord, and have others know the joy and receive the healing of the wounds that a broken world has inflicted upon them. You desire to share what you have received, and that is what it means to be a missionary disciple. What we pray for at the end of each prayer of the faithful on Sundays. So to hear all these things from you is a pastor's delight. And I'm not only hearing it from you, but we've got to let them know where you're from, visiting. Well, a lot of them say wishing their parish was like ours. Just yesterday, we received a Google review from a young woman who said that St. John quote, sets the bar when it comes to Catholic churches. I love attending masses there. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So we, yeah. Amen. Am I Catholic here? No. So that's great. More of that, please. But so we obviously want to keep this thing good thing we've got going. But unfortunately, it takes some significant resources to do so. When you look at the fiscal year report in the bulletin, you'll see that our parish expenditures exceeded our revenue by over $50,000 last year. Therefore, we had to eat into our rainy day fund for that amount. A similar trend is happening this year as we're looking at about $40,000 behind budget year to date. And we moreover did not get the $100,000 Trinity Foundation New Evangelization Grant, because once they see an increase in our offertory, that's when the grant will be reconsidered. They want to see our investment in it, right? And so continuing with the status quo will further eat into our rainy day fund, which is already at a critically low level of 600,000. 400,000 of that 600,000, the Building and Grounds Committee is proposing to use by the end of 2020, which is just around the corner, in order to do some long overdue repairs identified in the 10-year plan that the Building and Grounds have come up with, right? You heard the chair of that, Tony Shaughnessy, a couple of weeks ago briefly address that before all the masses. There are some extensive roof repairs and major work on the mechanical systems at St. John's School that need to get done, along with a whole laundry list of repair items at each of our three campuses. These are over and above what we are accomplishing through our Witness to Hope funds. So please continue to be faithful to your pledge payments, because waiting for more of those monies to come in is what is keeping us from moving forward with some of those major Witness to Hope projects. And the more we delay, the more expensive the costs are getting. Our bids are increasing since the little boom that we're experiencing in Jackson's economy has raised the price of construction. Some new regulations of the city, moreover, are not helping. For example, we wanted to repave our parking lot across the street, and we submitted the plans to the city, and the city is now mandating us to incorporate green areas, to incorporate drainage, to incorporate curbage, all of which Tony says will quadruple the original cost we outlined in Witness to Hope. We all know the cost of human resources is another huge part of a budget, and rightly so, because they are our most valuable resource. But because of our limited funding, we do not pay our employees enough, both here at the church or at the school. Mrs. Blair over at the school has wonderful teachers, and we have such an incredible pair of staff now who are so good stewards of the part of the budget that they oversee. We do not want to lose good people, the good people that we have, because we can't pay them enough. In fact, a big reason why we have not hired anyone to replace Andy's position, God rest his soul, of director of parish operations is because we can't afford it. We're not going to spend money we don't have. Andy's void, however, has left placed an immense burden on our current staff, and it's simply not healthy. And so for them, and for my own health, which some of you have heard is not the best, and for the sanity of your pastor, I sincerely urge you to respond to the invitation I am about to offer and explain now. So St. Mary started the Sea Parish just down the road, had also run into some financial struggles. But then Father Tim Nelson issued a challenge to which their parishioners readily responded. And it's making all the difference over there. And as a result, their financial situation improved immensely and has continued to stabilize over the last 2 years. Their parish membership is much smaller than ours. But even so, with their increase in offertory, they have enough to keep improving their own church and school. So what did he do? Well, he got up and asked everyone to participate in an experiment. He had people at Mass, each of the Masses, anonymously write down their gross household income on a little piece of paper. Don't worry, I'm not going to try that experiment here. So he had the ushers collect everyone's pieces of paper. He then calculated the average of everyone's household income, which came to about $50,000. Father Tim then took the average annual total contribution to the Sunday collection of the households, of each household, the average of that, which many do online these days. The average contribution came to about $1,500 annually, which was 3% of the average household income. So what he challenged everyone to do was to increase that by just 2% and give 5% of your income to the parish and give the parish offertory, and then give 5% to other causes and collections that we have throughout the year, whether it's Catholic Charities or the school or the DSA, etc. And they did. They responded. So I'm confident that you will too. Tony Shaughnessy had mentioned that throughout the generations, the people of St. John respond as long as we let them know the need is there. And so that is what we are doing, right? And I've seen your faithfulness myself. For myself, when I first got here in 2014, you responded with our getting our parish out of debt, the debt we inherited, along with some heavenly help from Father Frank Murray, thank goodness. And you responded with our Witness to Hope capital campaign, and you continue to do so. So similar to Father Tim at St. Mary Star of the Sea, we are having our own generosity challenge by embracing the 5-4-1 model of stewardship that some parishes in the region are adopting, including Queens, by the way. The 5 in 5-4-1 stands for 5% of our gross income going to our Sunday offertory, which I highly encourage you to do by automatic withdrawal through online giving, setting that up. You know, the bad weather, for example, when we had those two storms, when a lot of people missed Mass, really hurt our collections because people forgot to send their regular donation in or didn't make up for it the following week. The 4 in 5-4-1 stands for going 4% to other causes and collections that we have throughout the year, whether it's our Witness to Hope projects, the Organ Fund, Catholic Charities of Jackson County, our Catholic schools, etc. For example, after Mass today, there'll be tickets to the Drawdown Dinner fundraiser for our St. John School on March 23rd. And finally, the 1 in 5-4-1 stands for 1% going to our Diocesan Services Appeal, our DSA, that you just heard about. Now, I know this 1% is the part that we might be tempted to skimp on, given all that's been going on with the clergy abuse scandal. And honestly, the thought came to my mind regarding my annual contribution. But then I took it to prayer, and you know what the Lord does in prayer. You know, friends, what the Lord revealed to me was that we're really shooting ourselves in the foot, because the money from the DSA supports the very things that are improving the situation and are the most effective responses to the situation. For example, it supports our seminarians like Mark Martin and Tyler Ahrens and their formation to be good and healthy priests at a great seminary. It supports the corporal and spiritual works of mercy provided by our Catholic Charities agencies, who have also beefed up the number of their counselors due to the addictions that plague our area and in fact, our country, our society. And addicted folks that can't get what they want do crazy things. We see the chaos happening all around. The DSA also supports our Office of Child and Youth Protection and our Safe Environment Initiative that provides the education that every employee is required to have to be able to spot predatory behavior, making no other institution in our country is as vigilant as the church is now, after we've learned our lesson, to make our environment safe. And so not only every employee, but every regular volunteer goes through that training, making our Catholic schools the safest place a child could be, right? So let's for sure voice our concerns to the bishop by letter, by communication, but not by refusing to support these preventative measures that are doing good things. So that's the 5-4-1 model. In fact, we have summarized it on the generosity cards that you have at the ends of your pew. So would the folks at the ends of the pew please pass down those generosity cards so that the people in their pews can have a copy? On the front there, we can see that our stewardship is not just treasure, but time and talent as well. And on the back, you see a summation of the 5-4-1 model, right? 5% to our Sunday offertory, 4% to our other Catholic collections and fundraisers that build up the kingdom of God, and 1% to the DSA. So when you add 5, 4, and 1 up, you come to that 10% tithe. So by no means is 10% the limit, because for some of us, we may still have quite a bit even after our necessities are met, because we have been entrusted with more resources than others. You know, that 90% may be quite a bit bigger than others. That's a blessing, but it's also a responsibility. As Matthew Kelly shared a quote in his Four Signs book, "Never measure your generosity by what you give, but rather by what you have left." And that really convicted him when he saw that quote. And he says, like the rich young man, I find I have much. So the 10% is what we set aside as our first fruits to God right off the top. Our evangelical brothers and sisters are pretty good, better than this oftentimes than we are. That's why they can afford like 20 pastors on their staff and build these mega churches, right? The first fruits is that biblical practice of giving God not what is left over, but what is the very first tenth of our produce, which of course is now measured by dollars rather than crops. Once we have set that aside as our tithe, we prayerfully discern how to be best stewards of the blessings we have left, that 90%, all right? And as our Bishop Boyer encourages we priests to do, I want you to know that I don't exempt myself from this just because I'm the pastor, right? You can ask Jean Howe, our finance manager. I too tithe to our parish, well beyond 10%, because I also consider the fact that Father Brian and I have a roof over our head and food on the plate, on the table. And I don't consider my Witness to Hope pledge to be a part of that 10%. So know that I am not just preaching stewardship, but I am living it with you so that we can keep this good thing that we've got going. We are in it together. Notice that we don't have the DSA envelopes in the pews as we normally do on a DSA weekend. It's on purpose. It's because we are mailing that to you, not only the DSA pledge envelope, but also a St. John pledge card to write down what you commit to giving for your Sunday offertory. Your pledge not only helps us in the office with our annual budget planning, but it also helps you to be intentional about your giving, for your giving to be truly a spiritual practice, a spiritual sacrifice offered to the Lord. So for now, take home one of those generosity cards and use this week to take your level of generosity to prayer and to discuss it with your spouse if you're married. And when you receive the parish pledge card and the DSA envelope in the mail, please come back with them next Sunday and place both of them in the collection basket. Or you can put both pieces in the DSA envelope and send it to the parish office. Please do not send it, however, to the diocese, because as we need to count the DSA donation as part of meeting the St. John goal, if you would. So some of you may be hesitant in pledging 5% of your income to the Sunday offering. Maybe you've never surrendered that part of your life over to the Lord, but have just given your surplus from your surplus or your leftovers. Encourage you to pray on what it might say about how you value your relationship with God versus everything else in life. The whole money thing is commonly the last part of us that we want to surrender to the Lord. Right? But I encourage you not to be divided, but to trust in God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You cannot serve both God and mammon. There's a reason why Jesus pointed that specific thing out. Right? So do not serve two masters. Choose to serve God alone, and He will provide for you. God cannot be outdone in generosity. Right? And that's not just a saying, because we are willing to do what Father Tim Nelson did in his parish, which is to guarantee that God isn't outdone. So if you find yourself in a financial crisis and you need the increased amount that you gave to the parish offertory, we will give that amount back to you. We have record of each parishioner's offering, so you have my word that any increase in offertory that you have from your past offerings, we will return if you truly find yourself in financial need. That has yet to happen to Father Tim, but what he has told me is that parishioners have come up to tell him that not only have I found myself not needing the money that I thought I would need, but I ended up giving over to the Lord, but that they have been blessed with even more ever since they surrendered that part of their life to God. So once again, we have the call, the challenge, to put out into the deep, to give ourselves wholly to the Lord, and to enter into an intimate relationship of trust with Him. And in doing so, we can hope to hear those beautiful words of Scripture that would hopefully apply to us when our time comes. Well done, good and faithful servant. Since you have been faithful over small matters, I set you over much. Come, share your master's joy.